Good evening and welcome, and thanks for coming along to the meeting tonight. We're glad you've been able to come, and we really look to God that He'll bless us as we're together tonight as we read His Word and as we hear the story, the account of the Gospel. I'm always surprised when I come to believe Him, because we always manage to sing hymns that I've never heard before. And you sing them very well. You obviously do know them, but I don't. So these last two hymns we sang before we started the meeting proper, I need to get that sorted out with you before we finish, because I've got one or two things I need that for, so we'll sort that out when we finish up tonight, hopefully, God willing. And thanks for singing these so heartily, the beautiful hymns and the glorious message that they bring. Now we're going to turn to the Word of God then, in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, first of all. First of all, in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And around verse 42, I think it is, we're going to start to read. Verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." And he saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Over to chapter 24. And near the end of the chapter in verse 44. Let's go back just a wee bit to verse 41, it's actually a list of situations. We're going to read the last of these lists, ones on the list. And it says, "Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken, and the other led. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Over to John's Gospel. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 38. "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Over then to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 20. And there's a little doxology almost at the end of this chapter of Ephesians chapter 3. "Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And one final reading, please, in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And again, a little doxology. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now God will bless you as tonight the reading of His holy word. Now I don't know if you've noticed just over the last days that the battle for our minds has been on. And you can imagine that I'm not a politician and I never want to be a politician, and I'm glad I was never involved in politics much in any way. But what the politicians try to do, and many other people in the world try to do, is they battle for our minds. They try to get us to think on the same vein as they do, in the same way as they do, and to accept their thinking on things. And you know, if we were to go down that route in either one party or another, and there seem to be quite a few going around, then we would have to sort of lodge with them as far as our mind was concerned. So the battle is on, in a political sense, for our minds. But vastly more so, and vastly more covertly, in a sense, the battle is on for our spiritual mind. Now, as far as the Word of God is concerned, it is fairly open about what it really thinks in relation to the mind and to our minds. One scripture puts it this way, garrison your minds. And what that really means is, build up round about your mind a wall that is impenetrable to the things of this world, because it's dangerous that you give over your mind just to the first thing that comes along. So our minds are important. And so important that God speaks very clearly to us about our minds from time to time. And you may well have noticed, as we've read together, that the scriptures that we've read all have to do with our thinking and how we think. Now it's likely, unless we speak, then it's unlikely that people really know what their mind is holding. Now, I know I've got a wee granddaughter, and she can't speak yet, but sometimes you don't have any doubt about what she has in her mind because of the way she screws her face up. And so we can sort of tell each other some things by just our expression. And sometimes it's difficult to cover that up, isn't it? Sometimes it's difficult when people, where we meet somebody we don't like, it's difficult to put on a nice smile and to show ourselves to like them, because we don't. And our faces show it all, don't they, sometimes. Well, in the scriptures that we've read together, we've been thinking about this business of our minds. And God speaks in the Word of God, and He's wanting us to be clear about how our thinking goes. And so, with the scriptures that we've read together, we want just to think along these lines tonight, the little thoughts that go through our minds. And they tell a lot about us, and they tell far more to God about us than they do to each other about ourselves and how we are. So let's hear what the Word of God says then. And the Lord Jesus asks a question. You see, he had a bunch of Pharisees in front of him. Now the Pharisees got a lot of bad press, and rightly so, because they were a nasty bunch, really, in many respects. And they certainly didn't like the Lord Jesus. And they made that very clear, and they made it very obvious, but they had to be careful and try not to be too overt amongst the rest of the Jews, because many of the Jews at the time thought the Lord Jesus was teaching the right stuff in many respects. And here's what he asked them questions that were often difficult for them to answer, because if they'd answered one way, then they would have had to accept him as the Lord Jesus and as their Messiah. And if they answered the other way, well, the people might have been upset. And so they have to be very careful. And that's the kind of, almost kind of political type things we have happening today, where, you know, people can't really say what they think in case the newspapers got to it and that kind of stuff. Well, let's hear what Matthew's Gospel says. The Lord Jesus is speaking to this group of Pharisees and so on, and he says to them and asks them this very important question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Well, that question is not a question that just can be given to the Pharisees. That's a question that each one of us here really needs to be clear about in our minds as well. It's one of these central questions to the Word of God. What think ye of Christ? And so this evening, as we're together, That's a question that you need to answer. You see, as far as I'm concerned, what I think of Christ doesn't help you. I can tell you what I think of Christ, and I hope that you will accept what I believe the Scriptures say about Christ, but it's what you think about Christ that's important before God. So, what think you of Christ? Well, it's a question, a difficult one, sometimes for us to answer. We've not been asked necessarily the question presently, whose son is he? But what do we think of him? Now, I remember, regularly when I go to my work there, I work amongst a whole lot of young lads and young girls as well sometimes. But sometimes their language portrays a great deal about what they think of Christ. And oftentimes you hear the language coming out which tells you very clearly that in their heart of hearts they treat him just like many would have treated him whilst he was here in this world. They treat him in their minds, their thinking is as the Pharisees might have thought. Their thinking is as those who would have put him down and would have crucified him all of these years ago, these centuries ago, at Calvary. Their minds are just the same as that. Because whenever they use the Lord's name, they use it in vain. And it's difficult to deal with that, isn't it? It's difficult for those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour to accept that. It's difficult to hear it, because we know the person who the name belongs to. And if we were to ask the question of each other, what think you of Christ, I wonder what our answers would be tonight. Not our open answer, but what our answer in our heart of hearts would be. What our answer would be before the God of heaven. What think ye of Christ? Well, I need to tell you that when I was quite a young boy, I didn't have a great deal of time for Christian things at all. And I really wanted to be away from it all. I had my mind set on a time coming that I would, I'm leaving it all behind. I don't want to stay. I don't want to go along to the church any longer. I don't want to go along to the meeting. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about people praying and reading their Bibles. So I don't want any more to do with it. And there was a time when my mind was absolutely against the Lord Jesus. My thinking of him was that he was too much of an upset in my life and I didn't want anything to do with him. And I was quite young at that time. But I was very determined and very acutely aware of the fact that was a difficulty for me. You know, God in his grace spoke to me as quite a young boy. And I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And immediately my thinking changed. It wasn't a gradual process. Now, there's been a gradual process of learning about the Lord Jesus. There's no doubt about that. And my thoughts of him have changed in the respect that they've become more knowledgeable about him and more accepting of him as things. But the fact that my mind was exactly changed to the opposite direction, that's what's called repentance towards God. It talks about that if you were to go to your dictionary probably you'd find that the word repentance means a change of mind, which leads to a change of direction in our lives. And there was a definite change of mind, a definite change of direction when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And from a person who I didn't want anything to do with at all, he became a person that I wanted everything to do with. And gradually, as time has gone on, I've learned more and more about him. But I wonder, what about you? What about your mind? What are you thinking about the Lord Jesus? Now, you don't have to spell it out to me. Now, that would be confession, in a sense. Now, I don't necessarily need you to confess to me. I don't need to tell me how you're thinking. But before God, we need to confess that. We need to get this right before God. God's the important person between us here tonight. We're just telling you what the Scripture says and asking you the questions of Scripture. So what think ye of Christ? And whose son is he? Well, of course, many people in this world believe that the Lord Jesus was an ordinary man. He was born of Mary, and that he was the son of Mary, and they would accept that to a point, possibly in a historical sense. Now, there is no doubt about the historical existence of the Lord Jesus. There's far more history involved with him than there is with Julius Caesar, for instance, and nobody would ever deny the fact that Julius Caesar was born into this world. And I'm not suggesting that Julius Caesar was anything other than Julius Caesar, but the Lord Jesus, there's no doubt about his being here in this world. Whose son is he? Well, the Pharisees decided they would try and get round about it and do a wee bit of political thinking. And they said, well, he's the son of David, of course. And the Lord Jesus said, well, if he's the son of David, then why did he call him Lord? And so on. And they tangled themselves up with the answers they tried to give the Lord Jesus. The important thing for us tonight is to understand that the Lord Jesus, according to the scriptures, and the scriptures that are important here, according to the scriptures, the Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And the scripture wouldn't say that anything different from that. There's nothing in the scriptures that would suggest anything different from that. So that's our thinking with regard to the Lord Jesus, and what's your thinking with regard to the Lord Jesus? But he also says in John's Gospel, he speaks to them with regard to his word. And he talks about his word abiding in their hearts. And then he says in chapter 5 and verse 39, he says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And it may have been that these people who were listening to the Lord Jesus that day were happy to accept that because they had the Old Testament scriptures, and it was these scriptures the Lord Jesus was speaking about, because the New Testament scriptures were really just being performed at the time. The story or the accounts of the Lord Jesus hadn't even been written down when this took place, but it was just happening. And so the Lord Jesus would be speaking about the Old Testament. He said, if you think, you maybe think you have your eternal life because you have the scriptures in your hands. And so what would really be the case is, there they were, they held a scroll, possibly, a copy of the scriptures in their hands, and because they were known as the people of God, they thought, well, it's okay for us, we have eternal life, and they were kind of aloof because of that. But, you know, that's not what the Lord Jesus was trying to go over to them. He was saying, you know, there are lots of witnesses in the scripture with regard to the deity of the Lord Jesus. Lots of statements in the scripture with regard to him, and plenty of witnesses. John the Baptist was a witness for the Lord Jesus. You remember he talked about one that would come after him, who was preferred before him, the Lord Jesus. His works testify of him. You know, even the people of the day said, well, have you ever heard of anybody who could heal the blind, make them see? Have you ever heard of anybody who could raise the dead from the grave? Have you ever heard of anybody who could make lame to walk? Have you ever heard of anybody who could heal the leper? Well, they would say, wait a minute, I remember one man who healed the leper. That's recorded in the Word of God. He sung about the little maid tonight in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of the maid and Naaman. Well, it was a healed leper way back in them days, but the only one that was ever healed, says the scripture, until the Lord Jesus came along. His works spoke of him. His Father spoke of him from heaven. I remember the day when the Lord Jesus was walking along the banks of the Jordan, and the heavens were open, and the voice of God was heard. I wonder what would happen today if we heard the voice of God speaking. Now, we don't hear the voice of God and the Word of God. You know, there they were, walking along the shore of Jordan, and they heard the voice of God. Voice of God, and he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I find all my delight. The Lord Jesus, the one who was going to bear away the sins of the world. God spoke about him from heaven, and more than one occasion he was testified from heaven. But you know, he says, the scriptures speak of me, the prophets. If the Lord Jesus had been speaking to people when he did occasions, he started at Moses and the prophets, and they spoke of him. You remember when he was on the road to Emmaus, And there were these two folks on the road to Emmaus. They were quite despondent, and they didn't know what to think, because the Lord Jesus had been crucified, and he was in resurrection ground. He walked with them. And it says that he began at Moses and the prophets and declared himself unto them. The scriptures speak of the Lord Jesus. And so we need to believe the scriptural account of the Lord Jesus. Jesus and the message he gave through the scriptures, the gospel, the good news of free salvation for our sins. I wonder tonight, one thing to believe in who the Lord Jesus is, another thing to believe the message of the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which speaks of his death at Calvary, his crucifixion at Calvary's cross, not because of his own sin, because he had no sin. Marvellous thought, you know, that a man, and as much a man as I am, walked the scenes of time and never once even thought sinfully. We think of our thoughts, we've been thinking about our thoughts. What would have been to have known the thoughts of the Lord Jesus? Absolutely pure thoughts. Nothing vile. There was no guile in him. No crookery in him, says the scripture about him. But to believe that very one, that sinless sacrifice of God, the Lord Jesus, died at Calvary for your sins and for mine. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that the only way I'm ever going to be saved from this earth into heaven, the only way that my sins have been converted and cleansed, and I've been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, is through the work of Calvary. It's not by any means of myself. It's not by anything that I have done, but by the work that's been done for me at Calvary's cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. But then the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 reminds us of another little statement. And it's a wonderful little statement, you know, and it relates to our thinking. And here's what he says in Matthew 24 and 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I want to try and ask you a wee question now. How many times over your lifetime could you count up how many times you've thought that the Lord Jesus is coming? And I can remember an old man, and he was a relatively old man, and I met him first, but he's a lot older now, called Jim Smith, and you folks all know him here. And I remember him telling me the account of him standing on his bed at night. And he must have wakened up or started to, in the middle of a dream, thought the Lord Jesus was coming. He was standing on his pillow just waiting to go to be with the Lord Jesus. That was one occasion when he thought the Lord Jesus was coming. I wonder how many times you've thought not that the Lord Jesus was coming. In other words, how many times, how many moments of this life have gone past when your mind hasn't been thinking about the Lord Jesus coming? Because here's what he says himself, giving us a great deal of warning here. In such an hour as ye think not, in such an hour the Son of Man cometh. That's a great deal of warning for us tonight. It's an important issue for us to understand and to accept tonight, that it's very possible that we could miss out on the coming of the Son of Man because we've never given it a thought. The Lord Jesus has given us a warning not to get the wrong idea about his return. I wonder if we all realise, we all know that the Bible tells us very clearly that the Lord Jesus will come again to the heavens and receive his own people out of this world. And it will be in a day when we think not. The statement that we read in the scriptures, it gave us indications of individuals. It talked about people. There were two in the field. The one should be taken and the other left. I remember as a child, you know, I remember as a child hearing that and understanding that for the first time. And there I was, often out in the field with my brother, I have a twin brother. And here we were in the field, and it often used to come across my mind, the one should be taken and the other left. And that used to worry me, that used to trouble my heart and soul. And it's just as well it did, because in time it had a desired effect. And then it says there'll be two women grinding at the mill. And the one shall be taken, and the other shall be led. And there we have two women folk sitting, dealing with their daily chores. Maybe even talking to one another about the issues of life around about. And there they are. The one shall be taken, and the other led. And then another scripture we would read in the same account, as the same area that's talking about, it says, there'll be two in the bed, and one shall be taken, and the other left. And you can understand the situation there. Now you take yourself, how come some people are in the field, some people are grinding at the mill, and some people are in their bed? Well, of course, that is the case all over the world all the time, isn't it? That just about, we're just about ready to go to our bed, but the folk on the other side of the world are ready to get up. And so on and so forth. So there are always occasions. Scripture's never wrong with these things, you see. The Lord Jesus, he had the overview of it all. Even when people still believed the world was flat, the Lord Jesus was telling us that there were two in their bed sleeping, and one should be taken, the other left. There were two in a field somewhere, doing their daily work. There were two grinding at a mill somewhere else. And you could see the whole picture, and I'm sure the Lord Jesus could see the whole thing. And the one taken, another. And the warning is given tonight. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now what does that think not mean? Well, really, there's two or three things there. The first thing is, you either think not because you don't believe at all, you're not interested. And you could think not because you don't really want to bother about it. And you could think not because you haven't made up your mind. And then it may be that you think not because you don't want to think about it at all. And then possibly you think not because you've never even considered it. I want you tonight, I want you to think about it very clearly. If the Lord Jesus Christ was to come tonight to take his people home, would there be one left, would there be some left in the gathering tonight? And the Lord Jesus, when he was talking about this particular, these particular types of occasions, he didn't say there'll be some in a meeting hall and leaving, and one will be taken and the other left, or vice versa. And so we need to be sure about that. And that warning is so clearly given by the Lord Jesus that we need to take account of it. Don't be left. Don't be too late. Don't be left behind. Don't be left behind. And finally, as we come to the end of our meeting, there's two little things that we picked up from Ephesians and from Philippians. And the first little thing was this. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, one thing we need to understand is his powerful nature, his ability. And it says here in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, and so on. I want to tell you about a God who's able. He's able to save. We've been thinking about that, his power and salvation. But he's able to do in our lives more than we can ask or think too. You know, we're inclined to forget about the power of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Here's what the poet says. You are coming to a king, large petitions let you bring, for we know his grace is such, we can never ask too much. How wonderful is that? The Lord Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask. That's one thing. But he can also do above what we can think. There are things that we've never even thought of that God is able to do for us. Now, I've come across a case like that. I can tell you I've experienced situations like that. When I was at the very point of giving up on certain things and not being able to deal with a certain situation, I'm not going into the details. The fact of the matter is this, that God comes in and does something you've never even thought about. He does it more than we can ever ask or think. He's away in front of us. He's been the road before. He knows the difficulties. He knows our problems. And he's able to deal with these problems. And he'll do everything for us. He can deal with things above what we can ask or think. And then finally, just one little thought. if we're believers in the Lord Jesus. It's a very important thing. We say there's a battle on for the mind. You know, our minds can be filled with some things which are not helpful, can't they? Our minds can be filled with things which are unhelpful to our Christian life. And it's important that our minds are kept clean. And I remember an old man called John McHugh, and some of you may remember him. And he used to tell the story about a wee boy going down the shore with his mother. And she went to try and buy a bucket and a spade. And there wasn't any buckets and spades left in the shop, so she bought a colander. And so she went down the shore with a colander with a wee boy, and he was totally bemused by this thing. And so she would go away down the shore, and they would try to get water back for his castle to get in the thing. And he'd pick up the colander, and he'd get it 2 yards, and it was gone. The whole lot was going out of the colander, of course. And he went away back to his mum and said, "This isn't working, Mum. The colander, I'll no hold the water." But she said, "Never mind, son, it's I keeping it clean." Mm-hmm. And important for us, the Word of God is important for us to keep our minds clean. And here's what the Scripture says in Philippians, Paul writes to the Philippians, and he says, "Finally, brethren," after all the things that he said to them, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things," and he lists these lovely, beautiful thoughts. Now, just think about them. "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And so, if the battle is on for the mind, let's think of the things that the Scripture talks about. Let's think of the things that the Bible would like us to think about. The Apostle Paul gives to us as he concludes his letter to the Philippians, how wonderful it is to have these things in our minds. A good report. Remember what a good report did in the Old Testament. There was those 2 spies that went out. There were 12 spies that went out. Only 2 brought back a good report. And the people were not going to listen to it, you know. They didn't want to hear about it. The giants in the land and so on and so forth. But it was talking about a great God who was able to overcome the giants. And Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report in them days. So it's good to think of a good report. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. If you can't find something to praise today, you'll find something to praise in the Lord Jesus. You only have to think about him for a very few seconds before you find out something worthy of praise and worthy of honour. And we thank God for his Son, the Lord Jesus, who came into the world that he might bring us his salvation. We might think on these things tonight. But remember, we've got to be careful and not think too long. Because remember what was said, in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So we pray. Father, we thank thee for thy goodness to us this day. We thank thee for every blessing which is bestowed upon us. We realise, our Father, that you are a God of grace and mercy towards us and has given us so many different things, even beyond our asking and beyond our thoughts. And we thank thee, our Father, for the great eternal salvation which is an offer, which gives us things which are vastly beyond our mind. Our minds could never have discovered the thought of salvation. Our minds could never have come up with the thought of eternal salvation through the Lord Jesus, a sacrifice for sin at Calvary. We could never have come up with a scheme and a plan so marvellous as that. And so, our Father, we thank thee for that. We thank thee for what thou hast given in the person of thy Son. We seek thy blessing to be upon us now as we're together. Remember all thy people. Remember the people here. Remember those who are not able to be here through illness and other reasons. And we just pray thy blessing to be upon them where they are, and seek now thy help in the Saviour's name.